Everything is very exact. Those that like to attack the Bible or criticize the Bible don't understand the Bible. And they look for things that just aren't there. God is very meticulous. We're going to see some of those things as we look at these verses tonight. And very organized. The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. God is a God of order. And Psalm chapter 119, we see that because in this longest chapter of all the Bible that's about the Bible itself, it's broken up into 22 sections, each one with 8 verses. And as we've said so many times, that every verse in this Psalm, except for 2, every verse makes some reference to the Bible itself. We've said it over and over again, we cannot overvalue or overestimate the value of the Bible in the life of the believer. And David in the book of Psalms has talked over and over about the troubles and the trials and the difficult circumstances and the heartache and the enemies and all these things. And over has convinced us that the only thing that got him through those times were God's words, God's precepts, God's testimonies, God's commandments. Notice as we begin in verse 89 tonight and read down through verse 96 in Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but the commandment is exceeding broad. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this evening. Now, Father, we do again thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together in the middle of the week on Wednesday night. Father, to come apart for just a little while and gather together and look at your word together and study it and hear from it. Father, I pray tonight that just as the rain outside refreshes the ground, that Father, the word of God tonight in here would refresh our hearts and our souls. Now, give us something tonight that would challenge us, that would excite us, that would thrill us about our God. Father, we're so thankful that you're such a good God to us, and that everything you do is good. And Father, I pray you consider that as we look at these verses that are before us tonight. Father, tonight, may we thank you again for your word. Lord, you've not left us void. You've not left us empty. Father, all these things that have happened, you gave your son to die, and died on Calvary's cross. He rose again on the third day. He gives eternal life to all that believe. These things we only know because the Bible tells us so. And so, Father, we're thankful for your word that gives us what we need to know. Lord, far beyond just the necessities, God, you've given us your word to meet the need of every different aspect of our life. Father, I pray you show us that this evening. Lord, may everything that happens in our lives, everything that happens in the world, may we bring it into perspective of the light of the word of God. Father, we pray that you would challenge our hearts from your word this evening as we look at it together. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. As we look again tonight, this is the 12th section. These 22 sections in Psalm 119 are all named after a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 26 letters in our alphabet, last time I counted. There are 22 in the Hebrew alphabet. And so we're on the letter, basically on the letter L. It's Lamed in Hebrew, is verse number 89. And this is the 12th section of 8 verses that we're looking at. Again, these 8 verses all make reference to the Word of God. Verse 89 says, thy word is settled in heaven. Go to verse 91. The middle of the verse, you see, thine ordinances. Verse 92, unless thy law. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts. Verse 94, at the end, I have sought thy precepts. Verse number 95 at the end, consider thy testimonies. That's talking about the written word of God. Verse 96, by thy commandment is exceeding broad. The commandment is all of the word of God. Now you'll notice I skipped verse 90, and if you look in there trying to find the reference to the Bible, it's in the first two words, thy faithfulness. When we think about faithfulness, we don't think about that being a written book or recorded book.
But as we look at it tonight, we'll see that what David is talking about in Psalm 119 is what God has recorded about his activity that has endured through the test of time. God has done something in the past that while all other things change and everything man-made decays and falls apart, what God did at the beginning is still moving like clockwork. Those that want to deny the existence of God have to argue with reason. They have to argue with common sense. Because the Bible lays down some principles that are unchanging and some things that have just continued on as they were from the beginning. And there has to be someone that designed them to be that perfect. So tonight we look at what the Bible says in Psalm 119. I've entitled this study tonight, Forever Settled. Forever Settled. Verse number 89 says, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Let's look at what this passage says about the word of God. First of all, in verse 89, 90, and 91, we see the psalmist convincing us of the permanence of God's word. The permanence of God's word. The first two words in verse 89, forever. Forever. God's word will never disappear. God's word is never going to vanish. In fact, he said in Matthew, though heaven and earth disappear, heaven and earth pass away, my word will never pass away. So God's word is eternal. What God says is valuable. What God says is important. Everything that God says, when God speaks, everybody should listen. And so David says about God's word, it's permanent forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. You know what I like about God's word being settled in heaven? Man can't touch it. Because anything man touches, he defiles. Anything man gets involved in, he corrupts. Anything man reaches out for, he ruins. You say, well, we'll go into outer space. Why ruin it? Well, we'll go to the depths of the sea. Why ruin it? Those fish down there are peaceful. Everything's fine. Why send man down there? It's only going to cause him trouble. Why send him up in the moon? It's only going to cause trouble up there. Everything that man involves himself in, everything we do is decaying and going downhill. Evolution is a joke. Nothing is getting better. Nothing is getting better. We bought a van from another church. Do you know it's not better than it was when it was brand new? Now, if the theory of evolution be true, shouldn't I go out there and say, this is better than the day they made it and it came off the assembly line? It is getting better and better every day. But I look out there and there's paint that's chipped off of it. And there's dirt inside of it. Now, they vacuumed it out. It's not bad. But you could tell, nothing is getting better and better and better. Everything is decaying when it comes to what man does. Isn't it amazing? There's some things that God has done that man is not able to touch. And so they stay working just like God intended them to work. And as long as man keeps his hands off, it's going to continue to work that way. Global warming. That's the big fright thing out there. You say, well, preacher, what do you think? Do you think the world could be getting warmer? The temperatures could be rising and be warmer now than they were 10 years ago? Sure they could. Absolutely. In fact, right now it does feel a little warm. Yeah, I believe it could. Now, I'm not saying it has. I know the scientists are all proving conclusively. And I don't believe them, so that doesn't matter here or there. But could it be true? Yeah, it could be true. It could be warmer than it was 10 years ago. Because I know what the Bible tells me the end of all things is going to be. It's all going to melt with a fervent heat. And so if it's getting warmer, I'd just say, well, that sounds like the Bible getting ready to be fulfilled to me. I don't have any problem with that. So do you think it could be getting warmer? Yes, it could. You know, we've all talked about, most of us that are my age or this age have said, boy, back when I was a kid, you should have seen the winters we had back then. It stayed cold, and you made, up in Michigan, we made ice rinks, and now that it doesn't seem to be as cold as it. Is it seem to be getting warmer? Yeah, it seems to be. Is it man-made? It sure could be. Now, I'm going to ruin your politics here. Is it man-made? Now, I don't know that it is, and the scientists say it is, so that makes me wonder if it really is or not. But could it be? Absolutely, because I know man. And man is going to ruin anything that he can touch. And it's possible that by our gases, emission gases, and this thing, and greenhouse and all that, it's possible that we are warming the planet up. Now, am I going to panic over it? Am I going to spend billions of dollars over it? No.
But I do know this, that's complete. The theory is completely possible because man ruins everything. Now, I'd love to hear these scientists that are, I'd like to hear Al Gore say, we are in the midst of climate change. The temperatures are getting warmer. The ice caps are melting and California is going to flood. And then I like him to say, and it's our fault. It's mankind's fault. Now he'll say it in a general sense, but more like, it's your fault. But it's man's fault because everything we touch, we ruin. And everything we touch, you're not going to hear that part out of it. But when God makes something, it works fine. When man gets involved in it, it gets ruined. I'm glad that God's word is forever settled in heaven. It's permanent. It's eternal. Man can't touch it. Now, I'm also thankful for this. If it was settled in heaven and it stayed in heaven and never came down here, sure wouldn't do us much good. I mean, his word is settled in heaven. That's where it's permanent. That's where it's logged in. And God's spoken word is there recorded. But I'm thankful that he decided one day to transmit it from earth down, from heaven down to earth so that you and I could know about it. If his word was up there and we couldn't read it, we couldn't hear it, we couldn't learn about it, it really wouldn't do us much good. We could say, well, thank God, there's his word's up there. I don't know what it says. I don't know what it is. I have no clue about it, but I'm glad it's there. Now, notice those two words in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, what? Thy word. Thy word is settled in heaven. God's perfect, infallible word is settled in heaven. Man can't touch it. But according to David, he had a facsimile. He had a copy of that incredible, infallible, perfect word that he was hiding in his heart, that was a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. He said in verse number 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. All right, it's great that it's up there, but David said more about that word. In fact, 35 times in Psalm 119, David made reference to thy word. Thy word. That's over half the times that it's mentioned in all the Bible. I think it's 59 times in all the Bible that little phrase, thy word, appears. And a lot of times it's not referring to God. It's like Pharaoh. Moses goes in and said, according to thy word. But as far as God speaking, 35 times in Psalms, David talks about God and says, thy word, thy word. Here's one of them. Look just in Psalm 119. Did I say that they're all in Psalm 119, or did I say in Psalms? They're all in Psalm 119. Okay, verse 35, not verse 35, verse 9. I'll get my numbers right here. Psalm 119, verse number 9. All these 35 times that David said, thy word, are in Psalm 119. Look at verse number 9. Wherewithal, by the way, we're not going to look at all 35 of them right now. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. All right, let's put it together. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But how does a young man cleanse his way down here? By taking heed according to thy word. That same word that's up there settled forever is the word that a young man needs to cleanse his way. That's this word right here. That's this book right here. Look at verse number 11, just a couple of verses down. The psalmist said this, here's those words, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You understand that in Psalm 119, verse 89, David said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's permanent there, never going to be erased, never touched. I mean, Hitler, Stalin, all those might have tried to burn Bibles down here, but they're never going to get rid of the word of God. But at the same time, it's not locked and stored up there, not to be shared with mankind. It would do no good. And David said in verse number 11, thy word, that same word that's forever settled in heaven, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin, he said to God, against thee. So David had it down here. That word that was settled in heaven, David had down here. Look here in Psalm 119, look at verse 105. Here David said this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That word that is permanent, forever settled in heaven, has also been given to mankind so that we can have that eternal, permanent, God-blessed, God-ordained word to be a guide to our feet, a light to our path, to hide in our heart that we might not sin against God, to cleanse our way. We need that word. That book right there, folks, that book right there is an exact copy of what's sealed and settled forever in heaven. And if it's that, I mean, wouldn't you like to put your eyes on something that has a facsimile in heaven, or that is a facsimile of something that's in heaven? I mean, wouldn't you like to see a gate of pearl, a street of gold, a mansion prepared by Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you like to see those things? How about thy word is settled in heaven? How'd you like to see that? You've got it right there. See how valuable that is? How precious that is? And so David talks about the permanence of God's word because of its place. It's not only in heaven, but it's also on earth. God's word is permanent not just because of its location, but also because of the period of time that it covers. All right, not just because of its place, but because of its period. Notice it says in verse number 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." That carries the connotation of future. It's always going to be there. Nobody's ever going to remove it or take it down. It's for the future. You can always count on the fact God's word is going to endure. Future. Verse 90 said, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." That word faithfulness, again, now we find is in reference to the words of God. Thy faithfulness, your words, what you've spoken, what you said, is unto all generations. They'll never get rid of the Bible on earth. Man have tried for years to destroy it. They have attacked it. They've ridiculed it. The greatest atheist of days gone by was a fellow named Voltaire. And he stood in front of people with a Bible, waved it in his hand, and said, "Within 50 years, I'll put this book in the morgue." Well, unless he had it on his chest when they buried him, because he didn't live 50 years. And the American Bible Society bought his house and printed Bibles in it after he died. You're not going to attack the Word of God. You're not going to stand against the Bible. What a futile attempt in our day for people like Voltaire, like the others these days, to rail against God and blaspheme God. You're on the losing side of a battle. God's Word is locked in for the future. Look, if you would, at verse 160 here in this same chapter. Verse 160, notice what the psalmist says about God's word again. "Thy word is true from the beginning." Thy word, there's that thy word again, is true from the beginning. So we're going all the way to the past, the beginning. And then he says in verse 160, "And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." He just went from all the way back here to all the way over there. From the beginning of time as we know it in our human finite knowledge to the end of time as we know it. God's word is all-encompassing. It's always going to be there. Keep your place there and look, if you would, at 1 Peter over near the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter, back before, a little bit before the book of Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 25, and we find the same thing as far as God's word being around toward the future. You worry sometimes about the future. All of us should. You worry about the environment that our children or our grandchildren are going to have to grow up in. I heard a young married man say, "I just don't want to have kids because I don't want to bring them into the world like this." And I remembered saying the same thing about 30 years ago before I had my firstborn. And I remember my dad telling me, he said the same thing before I was born. Everybody's got some apprehension about what the future is going to be. And we bring children and we see our grandchildren come into the world and we fear for what the future is going to hold for them. Can I tell you that no matter what else happens down the line, they will always have the Word of God? It's settled forever in heaven and God's going to make sure they've got it. If you hide your Word in the heart, you know, John Bunyan
was thrown in a prison in England many years ago. He was thrown in prison, and in prison, you know what they usually do? They count the number of slats in the floor. They count the number of, tiles in the ceiling, whatever it might be. But John Bunyan was so full of the Word of God before he got in there that even though he did not have in his possession a Bible for a lot of time he was in there, he didn't have to count ceiling tiles. He didn't have to count slats in the floor. He didn't have to count the stars out there at night. He just went over the Word of God over and over and over in his heart. You can't take that away. And he wrote a book called Pilgrim's Progress while he was locked in that prison that is a Christian classic that every Christian, every believer ought to read at least one time in their life. It's just an amazing book. It's not inspired, but it's close to it. And that was written by a man that was locked away and isolated for, I believe, 7 years of his life. And during that time, he never lost his faith in God because he had God's Word locked away in his heart. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 25, the Bible says, but the Word, well, look at verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. God's Word is eternal. It's permanent. It goes all the way back to the past. Again, Psalm 119, where we're at in verse number 89, says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's the future. Verse number 90, the middle of the verse says, thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. It was God's word that established the earth. You go back to Genesis chapter 1, you know what you find? And God said, and God said, and God said, 10 times, the 10 commandments, 10 times God said, let there be. And God said, and it happened. And those things that God did in Genesis are still around today. I mean, think about that again. We've been talking about the changes that have happened. But what God does is unchanging. On the first day of creation, God separated the darkness from the light. And now, thousands of years later, the darkness is still separated from the light. They have not merged together. They have not deteriorated. If it was man-made, the lights... 1, 2, 3. If it was man-made, the lights would be out. All three of those lights were fixed and repaired when we moved in here. We've been in here 12 weeks, and 3 lights are out already. And the longer we stay, if we don't fix them, more will go out. Why? Because they're man-made. God separated light from darkness 6,000 years ago, or, if you want to believe Carl Sagan, billions and billions of years ago. And yet darkness and light are still separated. Nothing's burned out. Nothing's gone out. Nothing's deteriorated. What God did at the very beginning still is holding through till today. Because God said it, and God's word is unchanging. On day number 2 back in Genesis, God formed the firmaments. All right, he separated the waters that were above the firmament from the waters that were below the firmament. May I tell you, they're still that way today. And the laws of evaporation and the laws of condensation that God put into practice on day number 2 of creation are still happening today. Evaporation and condensation, those laws are eternal. You know, the evolutionists and the scientists studies these things to prove that there is no God, and they're studying laws to try to prove there is no God. Well, who made the laws? The laws of gravity, the laws of speed of light, the laws of all these different things. You know, when God separated the light from the darkness, He made light to travel 186,000 miles per second, and it still does. Nothing man's done has been able to do anything about that. What God does, what His Word speaks, is unchanging. On day number 3, God gave the lay of the land. He separated the continents from the oceans. And you can look at any globe you want to, and they're still that way. The waters separate one land from another land. God designed that. He made it all water, and then He caused the dry land to appear. And the dry land is still there. Parts of it might be falling off and breaking off. Some parts of it, maybe like San Francisco, need to fall off and break off. But there's still dry land and there's still water. And that's the way God made it on day 3 of creation. On day number 4, He made the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. Now, however long ago you want to believe that is, you're an evolutionist, it was billions of years ago, 10 billion to 100 billion. They never know how many billions, they just know it's billions. If you're a Bible believer, you know it's 6,000 years ago. But the sun still rules the day and the moon still rules the night. Because man can't touch them. The guys were going to fly to the moon, or fly to the sun. And they were talking to the Russians, and they said, this is the old jokes, okay? They said to the Russian, they said, can you fly to the sun? They said, no, we can't fly to the sun. You get so close and you burn up. And the two people from Poland said, well, we could fly to the sun. They said, how are you going to do that? They said, we'll fly at night. I hope you're not from Poland. God made the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night, and after all this time, it's still the way God made it. When God makes things that man can't touch, God's system's going to be perfect. It's going to continue the way it is. Folks, can I just jump board here and tell you that when God made man, he didn't make something else that became something else. Just like he made the sun and the moon, just like he made the firmament, just like he made the speed of light, he made it exactly how he wanted it at the beginning, and it stayed unchanged throughout all this time. On day number 5, he made the fish in the sea and the fowl in the sky. And today, you still shoot birds in the sky and fish out of the water. The fish are still in the sea and the fowl are in the sky, and evolutionary theories don't matter. They're still in the two different places that God put him. And on day number 6, he made the land creatures, and that was the animals that he put here. And then his final creation was man. And what God did 6,000 years ago on those 6 days of creation is still holding true today. God's word, when God said, and God said, and he made something, it is unchanging. The same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word is unchanging. It's secure for the future. It's safe from the past. Look, if you would, over at Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31. Look at verse number 35. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth thee the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. It's God that did it. It's God that designed it. It's God that created it. And it's still working the same way he made it to work 6,000 years ago. Look at one more verse back in Genesis chapter 8. He'll give you, again, I said that if the climate change people are going to say the earth is getting warmer, okay. Don't really care one way or the other, but okay. Not worth arguing over. If they want to say it's man's fault, help yourself. I'm not going to argue with that one either. But if they say, yeah, but you just can't blow it off. You can't put it off, because don't you know that if it turns this way, the whole world is going to be 150 degrees, 24 hours a day, 7 days. No. Now you've gone too far. Yes, it could be getting warmer. Yes, it could be man's fault. But there's always going to be fall football. Well, maybe not the football, but there's always going to be fall. And there's always going to be winter. And there's always going to be spring. And there's always going to be summer. Oh, no, there's not. Oh, yes, there is. Look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Here was God's promise to Noah when they came off of the ark. Verse 22, whilst the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. My heart goes out to you, global warming. I understand you're worried. You're going to fret day and night. You're going to lose sleep over it. I'm sorry for you. But you know, if you just get God in your heart, you wouldn't be so worried. Because God said, till the end of earth, there's still going to be cold and heat. He said there's still going to be summer and winter. There's still going to be day and night. Just like God made them so many thousands of years ago, it's just like that right now. And thank God we're coming into one of those seasons. The heat has kind of moved by and we're coming into a little bit of the coolness, fall season's upon us. And talking to somebody today, they're talking about Brother Gary Edmonds and how he liked Florida. I said, well, he wasn't crazy about it. They said, well, I like the four seasons. They didn't mean the Motown group. So I like the four seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter. And I do too. That's what I like about the northern part, living up here in these parts. And God has promised that those seasons are not going to change. He said, what about Africa? They still have seasons. They have the rainy season. They have the dry season. They have their falls and autumns. They don't define them the same way, but everything has its seasons. And God has said those are going to remain. Those are called in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 35, you notice the ordinances of heaven. And God talked to Job about those in the book of Job. So what God has done has continued on. It was like that at the beginning. It's going to be like that at the end. And it's like that right now. Look back at Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119 and the end of verse 90. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. All right, the same way God made it all those years ago is the way it is right now. Verse 91, they continue, that's talking about the heavens and the earth, they continue this day according to thine ordinances. All right, the way God ordained it to happen, the 24 hours a day. Sun by day, moon by night. The laws of gravity and condensation and evaporation. All these things that God has designed are still the same way today that they were when He designed it. What God does is unchanging. And His Word is forever settled in heaven. It's permanent. Verse number 91, they continue this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants. The seasons, the moon, the time, everything is subject to God. And so we read about the permanence of God's Word. Then look, if you would, at verse 92. Again, verse 89, 90, 91 talk about the permanence of God's Word. Verse number 92 talks about the protection of God's Word. The protection of God's Word. David said, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have then perished in mine affliction. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in mine affliction. We studied some of the early Psalms and saw that there was a time in David's life where he was stricken physically with a terrible, loathsome disease. And while he was enduring that disease, the only thing that brought him comfort was God's Word. We have seen over and over again in the book of Psalms that David's enemies came against him. Ahithophel, his counselor, Absalom, his son. All these people that were close to him turned against him at some point. And when David was despondent, when he was at the verge of depression and having nowhere to turn, you know what he said over and over again? Thy Word, Thy Word, Thy Word. It's what got him through those times. That's the protection of God's Word. Folks, you can't get that protection when you need it. You have to prepare for that protection. That's why he said, thy Word have I hidden my heart that I might not. I've hid it now that I might not, future tense, sin against God. You've got to put the Word of God in yourself now to prepare yourself for what's going to happen later. You can't wait till it comes and then do it. Somebody can sit down. The book of Psalms is rich. It's wonderful. It's talking about all. But you know what? If you're a Christian and you attend church occasionally and you never read your Bible and you don't really pray, and then something difficult comes in your life and you run home and open the Psalms and start to read it and you just say, I can't find anything in there. You don't get it at the last minute like that. You've got to be putting it in all along the way. And you'll go through that trial and it'll seem like it'll take forever because you've got to get what you should have had at the beginning. You've got to get it now so it'll help you through the trial. Get it in there now. Put the Word of God in there now. It'll be your protection. And that's what David says in verse 92, that unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in mine affliction. The protection of God's Word. The Bible is a pleasant companion at all times. Matthew Henry said that. The Bible is a pleasant companion at all times. Don't ever let that Bible get too far from you. Even if it's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we don't have church days. Don't let that Bible get too far from you. Notice, if you would, then, verse 93, 94, and 95. We've talked about the permanence of God's Word, the protection of God's Word. Verse 93 to 95, the power of God's Word. The power of God's Word. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Quickened. The word quicken means to make alive. To make alive. To revive. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about our salvation. It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Quickened means taking something dead and making it alive. In salvation sense, that's what happened when we got saved. But David's not talking about salvation in Psalm 119 in this verse. He's talking about after salvation, knowing God, walking with God, still needing to be revived. And God's Word has the power to quicken. Has the power to bring life, to give life. When depression sets in, when difficult times sets in, the Bible is able to quicken. Don't turn to pills. Now again, I'm not saying that doctors don't have some knowledge and some different, but I'm saying don't let that be your first resort. Let the Bible take care of it. The Bible can do it. David said in verse number 93, for with them, his precepts, thou hast quickened me. You walk around this world, you see people, you know, the goth. Remember the gothic people in all the black? When you see them, just black this and black makeup and black everything, and you look at that, you know what I think of whenever I see them? There's somebody that needs joy. There's somebody that needs happiness. And you know what that means? There's somebody that needs God. And the Word can quicken, it can make alive, it can bring joy, it can restore, it can heal those hurt emotions and hurt feelings. And it can give life. David said in verse 93 and 94, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Give me life. Give me life. The Word of God gives you that. Even after salvation. The Word of God is that which saved you in the first place. But then after that, it's what not keeps you saved, but it's what motivates you to keep getting alive for Jesus Christ. I know a lot of dead Christians. I know a lot of people, yeah, they're saved, they're on their way to heaven, but man, are they miserable. They're not enjoying the ride. They're not enjoying the trip. And everything is downer, and everything is trouble, and everything is trial, and nothing good ever happens. You know what they need? They need to get in the Word of God. David said, your Word, thy precepts will quicken me. Not only that, but in the power of God's Word, not only will it quicken, but it will quiet. Look at verse 95. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. You got enemies, you got the wicked that are after you. We talked about this last week in the previous 8 verses. David had those that were just hounding him. They were unrelenting. Nothing David did to them could be right. And they were looking for him, looking for ways. They dug a pit for his soul. They were trying to trip him up in his Christian faith. They were opposing him simply because of his love and devotion to God. And David said in the midst of that in verse 95, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. It brought him peace. The Word of God brought him peace in the midst of the storm. The Word of God has that much power. Jesus could say, peace be still, and the raging storm cleared up and blew away. Jesus could say, Lazarus come forth, and he had been dead 4 days already, came walking out of the tomb. David knew that in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those storms, that the Word of God was able to quiet him, give him peace, when it didn't seem like there was any peace to be had. That's the power of God's Word. Then notice lastly in verse number 96,
we see the perfection of God's Word. The perfection of God's Word. I have seen an end of all perfection. I like that. I have seen an end of all perfection. Folks, this world is trying to sell you everything in the world. Beauty, money, health, popularity. Man is a me-centered person. And everything in this world is geared on you, you, you. The problem with the churches in our day is they bought into the world mentality. And everything they're preaching is now you, you, you. God wants you happy. Reading about a fellow named, Brother John, you might have read this. John Piper is a very popular preacher getting in fundamental circles this day. And his theology basically is that God wants you to be happy so you'll please Him. And that's contrary to Scripture. God's not after your happiness. God does everything He can to make you happy, but happiness is not our goal. And what makes people happy, fame, fortune, health, athletic prowess, whatever it is, David says, all those things, I've seen an end of all perfection. David saw the strongest man that probably ever lived, a guy named Goliath. He got killed by a little boy. David saw one of the fastest men that ever lived, a fellow named Asahel. And he saw him get outrun and tricked and fooled. David had a counselor named Ahithophel, the wisest of all men. And somebody tricked Ahithophel one time, he went out and hung himself and committed suicide. David had a son named Absalom that by appearance was very fair. He was popular. He was the movie star of his day. He ended up dead. David looked at strength. David looked at swiftness and speed and athleticism. David looked at wisdom, and David looked at beauty. And he said about all these things, he said, there's an end to all perfection. But notice what he said at the end of verse 96. But, all right, there's an end to all perfection. Those movie stars might look beautiful when they're 19, 20, 25, 30 years old. But then when they're 65 and 70 and trying to pull that skin as tight as they can to look the way they did when they're back there, they just look awful. Scary. Not natural. There's an end to perfection. And that's even playing with the word perfection a little bit. But God says, thy commandment is exceeding broad. You want good health. You want beauty. You want strength. You want swiftness. I'm not talking about all the physical characteristics. I'm talking about spiritual characteristics. David said God's word is broad enough. It's open enough. It's big enough to cover everything in your life. See, here's where the world loses it, and sometimes many Christians do. We think God's word is narrow. It's confined. Well, the Bible only talks about salvation. And the Bible only talks about the Ten Commandments. If you've been around this church long enough, you know that Bible talks about a whole lot of things you never imagined it talked about. Because every time we get into this book, every time I sit down and study, I think, God, we talked about kindness the other night. And everything the Bible had to say about it. And there are 1,000 subjects. There are hundreds of thousands of subjects in the Bible that you could preach sermons on. There's no ending to the amount of things that affect every aspect of our life. Whether it's science or mathematics or anything else, there's something in the Bible that pertains, because His commandments are broad. He's not restricted. It's not narrow. It's wide open. You know what's narrow? It's the philosophies of this world. That's what's narrow. That's what's confining. David's going through some great trials. Going through some physical trials. Going through trials from foes and from family. And every time he goes through it, you know what he says? God, your word is sufficient. Your word is enough. Your word is broad. Your commandments are there. You know, if you didn't believe there's a God, when you suffer physically, you're out of luck. Tough. Nobody cares. No God to pray to. No God to talk to.
no one to help you. You better hope the doctors can do something, because without that, you're shot. The theories of evolution, the theories of godlessness, they're simply taking all the broad and wide promises of God and wiping it all off the table and saying, here's what you got. You've got your 60 or 70 years, and whatever you make out of it now, when it's over, it's done, it's finished. If you suffer, if all that, that's it, it's done. No wonder it's so negative. No wonder it's depressing to not believe that there's a God. The Bible said in verse 96, thy commandment is exceeding broad, forever settled in heaven. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.